So I was praying and feeling after the Lord and always open to God. And you know what? Amen. Just, I don't know, about Thursday, I guess it was, the Lord gave me a message right there in that hotel. Amen. Well, Sunday we went to that church that was close by, about a half a mile walking distance, and amen, it was, I got good out of it, amen. And then that night we decided we need to go somewhere else. So Sister Collins had looked up several numbers to call, amen. And meanwhile, my spiritual compass was pointing to the northeast. And I wondered if I could find it if I just started walking. Amen. And so I got in Sister Collins' number. She found, called that little Assembly of God church and got a lady speaking. And she gave us directions to get there. And when the taxi got lined out to go to that church, you know where he was going northeast. Just the way my compass was pointing. Amen. And we was the first ones there. Amen. Little Assembly of God church had been there for over 50 years. And one pastor had pastored for 46 years and died with a heart attack. And then they had another brother that pastored for a while and quit. And then they thought they had another pastor coming from Scotland, and he came, and they didn't have the apartment ready, so he went back home and didn't take the church. And so the pastor's wife's been taking care of the services, and other preachers been coming in, and we was the first one there, and there's an old guitar with the top coming loose around the, amen, northwest corner. Amen. And I tuned it up, and I was almost afraid. I thought maybe I've done the wrong thing and tightened up tension on these strings, because the right where my arm went over, the top was coming loose. But it sounded pretty good, and I got strumming about 5 minutes before church started, before all the crowd got there, and they asked me if I wanted to sing something, and I sung, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do," and they all joined in, and then I sung, "I Love Him Because He First Loved Me," and amen, sang something else, and by the time it got church time, boys, we was already started. Amen. And so they had a preacher that night, but he said, "I believe he should preach tonight. I believe he's got the message for tonight." And I did. Amen. I'd got it in prayer there in that hotel. Amen. This is what God gave me. I thought I'd preach it when I got home, but instead I preached it Sunday night in London. Amen. No tapes rolling, Billy. But you can send this one to them, and that way they'll have a tape of it. Amen. The title of this message is "The Key to Deliverance for Hard Cases." That's what the Lord gave me. Amen. And here's the key. When Jesus saw the people, Mark 9:25, Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. One time, amen, Brother Wigglesworth was praying for a man that they'd brought in on the cot nearly dead. Amen. He commanded him to stand up. And they told him he's nearly dead, and he told him to shut up. He commanded him to stand up again. When he didn't stand up, he helped him up. That was Wigglesworth. Amen. And He helped him up, and then he left him standing alone, and he crumpled and fell down again. And they said, "You killed him." And he said, "I didn't kill him. He healed." Amen. And he was. God had healed that man. With Smith Wigglesworth's rough prayer. Amen. They thought Jesus has killed him. Amen. He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. How many believe when the apostles can't pray for you and you don't get healed, it's a hard case? Amen. Hard case. And when Jesus come into the house, his disciples ask him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. The key to deliverance for the hard cases. I mean, what do you do when nothing else is working? What do you do when everything else fails? Preacher, Sunday school teacher, husband with a bunch of lost kids, wives with a lost husband, home breaking up. What do you do when everything fails? What do you do when you try your best and you come short of success? What do you do? Amen. Well, the answer to that question simply is, for big, hard cases, we need big faith. Amen. So we need to feed our faith. Too many times our faith is as poor, as weak, as a broth off a chicken shadow that starved to death. Amen. I heard that years ago, so I thought I'd spring it on you tonight. Amen. Weak as the broth off a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. Amen. What do you do when your faith is weaker than your problem? What do you do when your faith is weaker than your situation? Then you feed your faith. Praise God. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. I was taking Sister Hageman home. Carol will remember Sister Hageman. Some more of you from Middletown. Brother Setzer will remember Sister Hageman. Lived on Elk Creek Road, just this side of where Dick and Bonnie lives, there in the curve. Amen. And Granny Hageman was old, even when I hauled her to church at Middletown. Amen. She didn't have any teeth. And one day on the way home, she said, "You want a chicken?" I thought she was going to give me a well-prepared, cut-up, ready-to-fry, ready-to-cook chicken. Amen. But instead, I said, "Yeah, sure." John Dixon, the lawyer down at Barville, Kentucky, where I pastored for 4.5 years, told me one time, "Don't ever refuse anything that anybody wants to give you." Well, I never had been guilty anyway, but I sure enough wasn't going to be guilty, amen, anymore, because him being an unsaved lawyer and told me not to do that, I sure enough wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to be like that preacher out in Oklahoma that Brother Richard told about. He was probably in your revival. Amen. Held revival one time in that church, and folks was bringing in what they called a grocery pounding. And he got up one night and thanked them for the grocery pounding. But he said, whoever it was that brought those old onions out of the garden, he said, "You can take them back home with you." It wasn't you, Mark. You wouldn't even do that. You'd give them to your wife, probably. Amen. I wasn't like that. No, I always appreciated everything that anybody gave me, or at least tried to show appreciation. Amen. One time, a lady chased me down at a decoration service at the Hearst Cemetery down on Big Creek. And I'd gone out there after church, Brother Gerald, went to their decoration, and I think they wanted me to preach, best I remember, at the Hearst Cemetery on John B. Day May's farm out there. And amen. One dear lady that knew me well said, "I want you to taste my homemade cheese." And I said, "Don't give me very much." And she said, "Oh, you want a lot of this." And I mean, she poured the awfulest gob of homemade cheese that run into my plate. And it smelled awful. And it tasted more awful than it smelled. And I took a bite and I couldn't stand. Ain't very many things, Brother Sexton will tell you, that ain't very many things that I can't take. When it comes to eating, he told you all that I had a cast iron stomach. But I want to tell you, after I took one bite of that cheese, I was looking for a tree to get behind and dump the rest of it out of my plate. So the next time I passed by, her, she'd think I ate it. Amen. I found a place and I got rid of it. And I didn't eat it either. That's the only thing that I can ever remember that I wasn't thankful for. Amen. I've never been quite like Peter Marshall, the great Washington chaplain of the Senate. Amen. And came over, migrated from Scotland, educated in the States, pastored in Birmingham, and got called to be the pastor of the fashionable church in Washington, and finally tapped on the shoulder to be the chaplain of Congress. Amen. And Catherine Marshall, she wrote his life story later, said he hated the day when the Thanksgiving turkey turned into hash. And one day after the holidays, they sat down at the table and he looked across the table and saw what had happened. And he said, "Catherine, you asked the blessing today. The Lord knows I ain't thankful and I can't fool him. In most cases, I've always tried to be thankful and tried to pray, amen, over what folks had to offer. Amen. But Granny Hageman's rooster was as poor as a whippoorwill. And so, amen, I put him in the pen out behind the garage where the fellowship hall is now on 2710 North Verde Parkway. And I fed him kitchen scraps, Richard, for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I had fleshened him up a little bit, but he was still awful poor. But I decided to kill him anyway. Yeah, I knew how. I came from the country. You know, I'd chop them anyone's head off. And with this audience looking out the window, my wife and Kim and Jeff. And by this time, this red rooster has become one of the family. And we've taken him in, you know. Amen. And now here I am. I'm chopping his head off and he's flopping around. And so I scald him and I pick him. And I take him to my wife to fry him. And she dutifully fries him. And everybody's gagging except me. Almost crying except me. And finally, after he's frying, he's almost done, Kim breaks down and says, "He does smell good cooking, don't he, Mom?" And so finally, at last, Granny Hageman's rooster makes it to the table, and I'm the only one that eats a bite of him. But I ask the blessing. Oh, that old red rooster, amen, and had some good old, amen, country fried chicken for old time's sake. Incidentally, chicken don't taste like it used to. Did you ever notice? Kentucky fried chicken, they're everywhere over there. I got news for you. There ain't no such thing anymore as original Kentucky fried chicken. You see, I remember when it was literally finger-licking good. I remember when Colonel Sanders, I pastored 16 miles from the very first Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. Bruce Cole first mentioned Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. I didn't know what he meant, and he talked about how good it was. Amen. So they had one real close to us at North Brady Parkway. And in those days, they would fry that chicken with all those 40-some spices and that batter on it. And then they would put it in pressure cookers and pressure it, steam it. And then when they took it out, it was finger-licking good. It just stuck all over you. Amen. If you got it, all you had to lick your fingers. Because it stuck to you. Amen. When they syndicated Kentucky Fried Chicken and spread them all over the country, they still got what they call original, but it's not original. Let nobody fool you. Some of these days, I'm a notion to start up an original Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. Show them how it really tasted in the beginning. I never order original unless they slip it in on me anymore. I order crispy because I think it's better. But there's no such thing anymore as original. It's been adulterated and corrupted and cut short. And the pressure cookers are gone. And it's fried and stuck up in there and kept warm for you. Amen. But nevertheless, it's a little touch of back home. Amen. Many people's faith is like Granny Hageman's rooster. It's poor and it's weak. And it needs to be fed. Amen. How do you feed your faith? Well, this may take you aback. And this may upset your apple cart. Amen. But in order to feed your faith and have real big faith for real big emergencies, you have to starve the flesh. You have to deny yourself. I know it's unseen and unheard of today. Amen. We live in a generation that don't deny themselves anything. But if we turn failures and defeat into victory and deliverance, we'll need greater faith. When we lay hands on the sick and they don't recover, we're reminded we need greater faith. Amen. When we wrestle in prayer against the powers that be and employ every weapon, we're reminded that something's amiss. We need greater faith. And so consequently, we look to the leaders to produce. We want a Moses that's been to the mountain and has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But then we had Havis, who'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights in that year previous to coming to the highway to hold an 8-week revival, and 21 days at another time in the same year. Amen. And the meeting was characterized by the pure fire that you felt in your soul. Amen. But there's a whole lot that was there then that's not here now. What happened? Amen. Havis had fasted. Havis had sought God. A few more had fasted and prayed and sought God. Amen. But if we're not careful, we'll leave it to the leaders. Amen. A great demonstration to revival fasting, and one of the keys to every great revival in Bible times has been fasting and prayer. And one of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament is Jonah's revival. The reluctant prophet, amen, who had to be swallowed by a fish, amen, and go down to the belly of hell. That's his own words. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. Amen. And Jonah had to be swallowed by a fish and resurrected. And one evangelist said, amen, when he prayed through that fish, amen, vomited him out. When he opened his mouth, Jonah walked his tongue like a gangplank. Amen. And amazingly, he delivered him where he needed to be delivered. On the road to Nineveh. Amen. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent. And Jonah didn't want Nineveh to have revival. Amen. But Jonah went ahead and preached when God got done with him. Amen. And the king was moved. My God. Listen to it, if you will. Praise God. In the book of Jonah, the king and all the people were moved, praise God, by the preaching of Jonah. And oh, what preaching it was. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And so the people of Nineveh believed God, Jonah 3 and 5, and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came into the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Nineveh fasted. All of Nineveh fasted. Even the king fasted. The people fasted. The children fasted. The animals fasted. Everybody put on sackcloth. Amen. Can you imagine trying to get a cow to wear sackcloth? Can you imagine trying to get a horse to wear sackcloth? Amen. They tried it. Amen. They tried putting sackcloth on everything. I mean, it was wholesale repentance, wholesale fasting, wholesale mourning. And the whole miracle of it all was that they were in unity about it. No seesawing back and forth. Amen. They didn't have much time. And they fast. All of Nineveh fasted. Except Jonah. Amen. Say, we need a preacher that fasts and prays a lot. Well, I'll tell you something. You've had preachers that fasted and prayed a lot. Amen. But he may not stay here. And if he's the only one that fasts and prays, he may take a revival with him when he goes. Huh? Amen. Claude Ely went to the mountain. And Brother Gerald heard, amen, the Williams boy tell the story. He hauled him up to the mountain. Amen. We were there in Cumberland. Amen. When the glory was rolling in Cumberland Church. And the power was falling in Cumberland Church. Brother Ely came down off the mountain, praise God, to sing, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And little David, play on your harp. Amen. And rock the gospel world with a hillbilly singing with a gravel voice. I thought he was a black man when I heard him sing over the old gospel station in Newport, Arkansas. We called him Brother Claude Ely. The announcer called him Brother Claude Ely. When I came to Hamilton 40 years ago, I was talking to the pastor about Claude Ely, and he laughed. He said, that's Brother Claude Ely. I know him. I said, you know Brother Claude Ely? Yeah, he's a friend of mine. Amen. Yeah. Brother Ely went to the mountain. He told Brother William's son, said, his son asked him, said, when you want to come and get me? Or when you want me to come and get you? Brother Ely said, I'm not going to tell you. He said, well, let you be led to the Lord. He took him as far as he could take him in a four-wheel drive and let him out. And Brother Ely walked farther. He didn't tell us how long he stayed in the mountain. But the Williams boy told us his beard had growed out. Amen. When he went back to pick him up. Amen. 4 o'clock afternoon, one afternoon, sometime later, he said, Mom, I feel like I ought to go get Brother Ely. She said, "It'll be dark a little while." I said, "Why don't you just wait in the morning?" You asked. That night it rained. Amen. And he found his way up the mountain, drove as far as he could drive again, the four-wheel drive. He found Brother Ely standing over under a leaning tree to keep from getting wet. Said, "You ready to go home, Brother Ely?" He said, "I was ready 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The very time he felt that." God solved the problems in Cumberland Church. Amen. But because the people didn't fast with him, and Brother Ely wanted to build dormitories to keep people and see God move and see the thing grow, amen, the church bosses rose up, amen, and said no. Amen. And Brother Ely resigned, and Cumberland went on a decline. And folks, need I tell you that Cumberland Church has never gained the place it had when Brother Claude Ely went to the mountain. It's just another charismatic church today. Amen. You tell them I said so. Send them a tape. They know it. Amen. Oh, the things it could have been. Amen. You know the whole miracle of Pentecost, the whole miracle of Nineveh was? They were fasting and praying, and they were in one mind and one accord about it. Everybody did. Amen. Everybody that was in on the meeting did. Everybody got a hold of it. Everybody done it. Praise God. Amen. Jonah had a great revival. Amen. In Nineveh. But then he didn't stay. And so, amen, they had a decline. We need a leader that leads the people in spiritual things, that feels with the people their needs, and travels with them into the depths of their despair, and fasts and prays with them. But even though Nineveh was saved, and 110,000 little kids, amen, was spared a terrible death that didn't know their right hand from their left hand. God said it. Amen. Later on, another prophet would prophesy judgment upon Nineveh, the arch enemy of Israel, because they fell right back into the same rut. Somehow or other, we need to get it together. The preacher and the people both caring. The preacher and the people both seeking God. The preacher and the people both. Amen. In the little church I preached in London, England. Amen. They'd been looking for a pastor for years and couldn't get one. I told him Sunday night, "You need a pastor. You're looking for a pastor." Amen. Listen, folks. If people will get a hold of God and fasting and praying and quit chewing the wool off of each other. Amen. They say out west, the sheep were dying. Amen. And they didn't know why. And up on an autopsy, they found it had been dry and there was a lack of pasture. And when sheep get without pasture, they chew the wool off of each other and they was dying with a ball of wool in their belly. Amen. There's a lot of folks in church that needs to be fasting and praying. Amen. They need to nail their long tongue to the wall and let it rest a while. Amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. And get a hold of God. Whew. Have spiritual surgery if need be. And get rid of that ball of wool that's in their belly. Amen. It's going to kill you. You keep chewing on everybody. You keep chewing on this. You keep chewing on that. You keep carrying grudges. And you keep alibying for your bitterness. There is no excuse for bitterness. Amen. So what do you do when your faith is small and your problems large? Amen. Jesus said, "How be it? This kind cometh not out except by prayer and fasting." If we're going to fast much for homecoming, folks, we'll have to do it between now and Monday. Amen. Monday's a good day to fast. Friday's a good day to fast. Amen. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday wouldn't be a bad time to fast. I'm not telling you to fast the whole time. Amen. I'd like for someone to catch the Spirit, though. Amen. If we could get this many people, close to 100 people here tonight, amen, to fast one day apiece, it might add up, amen, to 33 and a third days of fasting and praying. Huh? Amen. If we could just get a few to fast a few days, it might add up. Amen. Fast? Well, that's better than blaming somebody else for our failures. Amen. Well, they prayed for me and I didn't get no help. Pray yourself. I mean, the sky's the limit. The door's wide open. Write your own ticket. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Well, I'd have amounted to something if Brother Collins would have helped me better. Amen. Help yourself. Amen. Ain't a God that answers prayer. Amen. Promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south, but promotion cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Wasn't that the way Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it? Amen. Wasn't that the way that Esther wormed her way into the king when she wasn't even called? They got together. If we don't fast, we're going to die. Could I tell you, if we don't fast, somebody's going to die. Hallelujah. If we don't get a hold of God, somebody's going to die. And they fasted. And Esther went. Amen. You know why she went? Her uncle said, if thou at this time hold thy peace, enlargement and deliverance shall arise from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. But who knoweth but what thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, we're here, folks, and we're the only ones that's here. No other generation lived in this generation. Amen. No other bunch has frequented this church. Amen. In recent years, we're it, folks. Amen. Ain't nobody else gonna do it. If we don't do it, forget it. If we don't get a hold of God, forget it. If I don't get a hold of God, forget it. Amen. But we can get a hold of God. There is no devil too hard to cast out if we'll fast and pray. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. But it will come out. Amen. I'll tell you what. The same old song will ring with more fire after fasting and prayer. The same old sermon will ring with more fervor, amen, and more effect after fasting and prayer. The same effort will be put on a grander scale after fasting and prayer. The book will read different. Faith will flow like a river. Amen. The Holy Ghost will be poured out like liquid love in our souls, praise God, if we'll take the time to lay hold on God. Isaiah said, I marveled. Amen. I marveled that there is none that stirreth up himself to take hold on God. Amen. The preachers that come, they'll come praying. They'll come shaking. They'll come with fear and trembling. Amen. They're going to preach to a congregation that they've never preached to before. And they're going to be sent by tape around the world. And they're going to try to get God's message. And they're going to be praying. But will we leave it all to them? Amen. I'm too old. Fast anyway. I'm too sick. Fast anyway. Amen. I got diabetes, fast anyway. I got heart trouble, fast anyway. if you have to, die fasting, that our faith may be strong. And that great obstructions might be moved by faith greater grown. Stand with us and let's pray. Amen. I'm not telling you how much. Amen. Oh, let the Lord speak to you. But if we don't, who will? If we don't, who will? If we don't, who will? If you don't, who will? If I don't, who will? Amen. Let's get a hold of God. Lord, give us unity in this one thing. There may be things we all agree on across this country. The one thing we need to agree on, we need to get a hold of God. Lord, we can be extremely victorious or greatly defeated in this hour. We can be extremely successful or on the other extreme, extremely failure. Help us, Lord God, to touch Jesus, to walk with Him in that garden. Amen. To go with Moses, Joshua, Jesus, and they at Pentecost on Zion in the upper room. Help us to go with the saints that blazed the trail in front of us to the mountain. Help us not to leave it to somebody else to fast and pray, but to seek God ourselves, to pray for our preachers, to pray for our men of God, to pray for our church, to pray for souls, to pray that the shackles will be loosed, men and women, boys and girls will be set free, that this little kid generation that's coming up will have their chance at revival. I pray, I beg in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Find your way to the altar. Let's seek God. Amen. Let's seek God. What do we need more at the highway than anything else? What do we need more at the highway? What is foremost on your list? What's number one, number two, number three? Amen. Oh, yes. God's able. God will see your tears. God will see your sacrifice. God will see your effort. Your fasting adds intensity to your prayer. Amen.
And I wondered if Mama was there all alone.
Help us, God.
Stop it.